Thank you for listening to Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills. At Crossroads, our mission is to be the church. By sharing and showing the love of Christ and inviting others to be recipients of Christ's love. Now here is this week's message from Pastor Floyd Hughes.
Again, welcome to our Sunday celebration where we love celebrating Jesus and when we especially love when we can baptize some folks, which we're going to do this morning in just a little bit. I am Pastor Floyd, and for those of you who have been around, you're probably familiar with the fact that we teach through books of the Bible, chapter by chapter or verse by verse. And when you do that, you get to cover a lot of topics. Some people like, some people don't. You cover controversial topics, all the controversial ones, they're in the Bible. You get to cover political topics because they're throughout books of the Bible. Immigration, taxation, all that stuff. And you get to share, here's what God's perspective is. But then you also cover some controversial theological topics. Once saved, always saved, end times, pre-rapture, post-rapture. We're not discussing any of that this morning. But one of the theological topics that a lot of churches disagree over is baptism. How do you baptize? Do you dunk them? Do you sprinkle them? Is it baptism that actually saves you or is it not? We're going to talk about all of that this morning before we baptize people today so we understand that we're all on the same page in what we're doing. And also to ensure we all understand, I'm going to walk through some scripture. If you want to, turn to the book of Acts chapter 8. And if you don't want to, that's okay because I'm going to put the verses up on the screen. But there is a point where I'm going to ask everyone to turn to a specific verse because I want you to see I am not making this up, right? And also, here's the thing. Everything that we're about to read, this portion of Acts, took place within the first couple of years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's important. And the context of what's happening is the disciples had chosen some deacons, or excuse me, the apostles had chosen some deacons to help carry out their work within the church. Stephen, one of the deacons who was in the church in Jerusalem, ends up getting stoned, not like we think, but he lost his life because he was sharing the gospel and criticizing the religious leaders of the day. So in Acts chapter 8, and don't worry, I'm going to tie this all to baptism. We're going to see it. But in Acts chapter 8, this is what happens. Verse 1, and Saul, who we know as Paul, approved of their killing him, meaning Stephen. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. Now, this is important context because as horrible as this was, God used this tragedy for his purposes. Because one of the things God told them is, I want you to take the word of God to Judea, to Samaria, and to the rest of the world. But at that time, the church stayed largely in Jerusalem because that's where they lived. So at this time, and forgive me if I don't have the exact math, but later on down the road when we walk through the book of Acts, I'll have the math for you. There were several thousand members of the church in the city of Jerusalem, all Christians, all who would gather together and worship together, right? But the problem was they all lived there. So God used this tragedy to spread them, and they took the word of God with them wherever they went. And we see this today. There are tragic things that could happen. Imagine if God said, hey, here's what I want everyone in this room to do. I want you to go tell your people, blah, 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 thus saith the Lord, or the gospel. And we say, yeah. And he's like, take it to the world. And we say, yeah, but we all live within 5 miles of each other. We all work within 5 miles of each other. So the only people that we can tell are the people within 5 miles of us. But then let's say God says, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to kind of use some tragedies in your life to help you share the gospels to other people in your life. So let's say Gary and Karen, who live less than a mile from here, right? God says, hey, guess what? There's a family member of yours in Arizona who I want you to move there and take care of them, because they're on hospice and they don't have long for this world, but I want you to go. So they pick up everything they have and move to Arizona. Now they get to share the word of God with folks in Arizona. Or if they tell, you know, Bill, hey, Bill, guess what? You just lost your job, but there's a job worth double your pay in a better school district, and I've got a house waiting for you, but it's in like Pensacola, Florida. So now instead of Bill sharing the gospel with folks around here, he takes it to Florida, and God uses those tragedies to help them share the gospel, as we're about to see. So in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, it says this, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. That word Messiah is the Hebrew word for Christ, who we know as Jesus the Christ. And this is important because previously, if you read through the Gospel of John, none of the Jewish people went to Samaria. They're like, oh, we don't go down there. We don't go to that city. We don't go to that borough. We just don't mess with them. They had cultural, political, and religious differences with them. And if they had to go anywhere near them, they went around the city just so they wouldn't have to go through. But now, Philip went to Samaria, and he proclaimed the gospel there because that's what God does. And we're going to look at what happens specifically with Philip because this is important. Most people think, oh, it's the pastor's job to share the gospel and spread the good news. It is not. God will use anyone who says, yeah, God, I'm willing, use me, right? So then in verse 26, it says this, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now, when we get to the book of Acts, I'll explain in more detail, but there's a couple of things we need to understand that are going to help us understand what's going on now. First and foremost, an Ethiopian eunuch, this man was a eunuch. That meant he was castrated. Everybody knows what that means, right? Think of vasectomy, right? My knees are getting weak just talking about it, but think of vasectomy, no anesthesia except maybe a sip of wine, and with blunt instruments, not in a hospital, not in a sterilized environment, not with all the things to help you heal, no aspirin or whatever, just like, I was going to say snip, snip, but that's not cool. And then you send you on your way. But that's, yeah, I need a moment. Okay, so that's what it was. So that's what this person had done. And because they had vasectomies, they didn't have any ability to reproduce. But because of the way it was done back then, they really didn't have the drive to reproduce. And I'm going to leave it at that because there were kids in the room. But because they didn't have the drive to reproduce, they served in positions of power in kingdoms. So right now we have presidents and elected officials and all that. Then they had kingdoms. And if you were a king, someone who served in your court could impregnate either your daughter, your granddaughter, whatever, and then they would have a claim to the throne. But since eunuchs didn't have that drive or ability, they were put in positions of power in many kingdoms. And in this particular kingdom, it's not that he was Ethiopian like we think of the nation of Ethiopia today. In the Greek back then, anyone who was from south of Egypt was referred to as an Ethiopian. So pretty much anyone from anywhere in Africa south of Egypt, because parts of Egypt kind of were closer to Israel. So anyone who was from south of Egypt was called an Ethiopian. And I'll talk more detail about that when we get to the book of Acts down the road. But this is going to help us understand a little bit of what's going on here. And in verse 27, it says this. So he started out, again, on his way, met an Ethiopian eunuch, important official, in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. And here's the key thing. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. On his way home, sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah. So again, a couple of years after the death, burial, and resurrection, there were people in other parts of Africa that already had the book of Isaiah, many of the books of the prophets, the books of the Old Testament. So don't believe people today when they try to tell you, oh, you know, the whole Bible, this thing, we don't need to believe it because it was all written by the Romans around 300 AD. He already had this book of Isaiah. It wasn't like he went to go do work in Rome. He specifically came to worship at the temple in Jerusalem, which from an Old Testament perspective was one of the commands if you wanted to worship the God of the Bible. So the God of the Bible was already well known in many parts of Africa, right? So he was reading the book of Isaiah the prophet, and here's what he was reading. Then Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, and he said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And really quick, it's not that the Bible is extremely difficult to understand. Do not believe the people that tell you you need someone to explain it to you. That's why so many pastors are like, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. However, specifically with different languages and with application, it may like, wait, is this something that applies to me? Is this something that doesn't apply to me? And that's where pastors come in, because our job is to teach the Bible so it can be understood and be applied to people's lives. And that's why I always use the term, my job is to teach the Bible and keep it Sesame Street simple. You know how they're like, A is for apple, B is for banana, C is for, hopefully, cat. Yeah, there you go. Okay. It's been a while since I watched Sesame Street. But yeah, to keep it that simple, so that everyone understands the Bible, right? That's the goal. So going back to the book of Acts, this is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? He was reading from, and I wrote this down because I knew I was going to forget, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 through 8, which is part of what's called a messianic prophecy. Messianic meaning Christ the Messiah. It's a prophecy written 700 years prior to the birth of Christ about the death of Christ. And it's something that a lot of people will say, oh, this is again, and I say this all the time, why we can trust the Bible. Because we see prophecies that were made centuries before that, hey, this is going to be fulfilled, and we see it fulfilled in Christ. We know that Christ was led like a sheep to the slaughter. We know he's called the Lamb of God. We know that he kept silent, and we know he didn't open his mouth, and it says he was deprived of justice. And when you read through the Gospels, you know that he was given a sham trial by people who just wanted to kill him because his truth conflicted with their truth. And all of this 700 years prior to. So again, this is one of the reasons why we trust and believe in the Bible. Now, here's the thing. He says, for his life was taken from the earth, and we understand that it may not seem like a prophecy where it says who could speak of his descendants to us, but in that day, it was a way of saying, you didn't get to live a long, happy life. Sometimes when we get to our family members and we're at memorials, we say we're grateful that they got to live a long, happy life. This is their way of saying that exact same thing, right? So in the next verse, it says, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Here is the thing. The eunuch, although who spoke a different language, and although he was reading the book of Isaiah, which I got to tell you, not the easiest book in the world to read, he understood what was being said. He just didn't know who it applied to. He understood that whoever this was, that they were unjustly killed, that their life was taken from them in an unjust manner that they didn't deserve. But his question was, is the prophet talking about himself, or is he talking about someone else? So he understood what was going on. And here's what I love even more. It says, Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus, which is what we're supposed to do when people ask us questions. We're not supposed to go into this big, long theological debate or here's my political perspective or here's this. We just say, yeah, here's the answer to your question and here's how that ties to Jesus Christ. And I had this woman who sent me a message and said, hey, can you make a video telling all pastors that they need to spend at least 3 minutes set aside from their sermon where they share the gospel? And I responded back to her, I can't do that because I don't agree with that. I think every sermon that we preach needs to say, here's what this verse says, here's what this passage says, and here's how it ties to the gospel. And that may take a lot longer than 3 minutes. But if we're standing up here telling you anything that doesn't point to Jesus Christ, we're wasting your time. Because Jesus, when he was on this earth, walked around and told people, every single scripture that you have points to me. And the reason the apostles ended up writing letters after his death, burial, and resurrection was to show that every single thing points to him. And this is even better. I keep saying I love this, but I love this even more. Because Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. That phrase, good news, is actually one word, and you've heard me say this before, in the Greek, and you've heard me say I cannot pronounce it. It's euangelio, EU, whatever, blah, 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 euangelio in the Greek. But it's literally a word where we get our English word, evangelism, and throughout the Bible, it's translated good news, but it's also translated as the gospel. It's telling people about Jesus. Every single person in this room, every single person watching online, every single person in any church, in any place in the world can go out and tell people about Jesus and share the gospel. It's not the pastor's job. It's all of our jobs to tell people about Jesus. And for some people, they may do it in more detail. For other people, it may be as simple as, here is what Jesus has done for me. That's it. The next verse says this. He says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And this is where we're going to run into the baptism. Because Philip explained, hey, here is this verse. He explained that it talked about Jesus. He explained about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then he must have explained about that's after you believe, you must get baptized. Because he didn't just pull this out of his pocket like, hey, here's water, I got to be baptized. It must have been that Philip explained it to him. Now, here's the thing. If you don't have your Bible open, if you're looking in the app, you can look in there too. Open to the book of Acts chapter 8, because we're at verse 36. And I want you all to look at something. So you can see I'm not making this up. And this is where a lot of people get, oh, this is why I don't trust the Bible, but this is why we should trust the Bible. In your Bible, depending on which version you look, the version on the tables are the older NIV, I think it's 2008 version. It says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? That's verse 36. The very next verse in most of your Bibles is verse 38. There is no verse 37. There might be a little letter, like a very, very little letter, like I use my glasses and a phone, it's like that small, to try to see it. And then somewhere on the bottom of that page or somewhere is a note that tells you that many translations don't have that next verse. So some leave it out. But I want you to see the translations that do. So in the King James Version, how many people remember the old school King James Version? Yeah. Yep. Okay. All right. As they went, and I'm not a King James only person, but it does have a lot of truth. It says, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. I feel like I should say this in British because it's King James. Okay. Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, this is the next verse. This would be the verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he, meaning the eunuch, answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I'm going to put it up in the Amplified version so no one thinks, well, that's just the old school King James. Amplified, very renowned version. We use this along with a lot of other versions here. It says, as they continued along the way, they came to some water, and a eunuch exclaimed, see, here is water. What is to hinder my being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, if you have conviction, that full of joyful trust, that Jesus is the Messiah, and accept him as the author of your salvation in the kingdom of God, giving him your obedience, then you may. If you accept that he is your Lord and Savior, if you understand that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the one that God said, I'm going to send to pay the penalty for the sins of all humanity, if you accept that and you believe that and you're ready to accept that Jesus is Lord and Savior, then you can be baptized. And the response from the eunuch was the same in all situations. I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So when we do baptisms, I know, and I'm not trying to criticize that folks that do, but when we do baptisms, we don't do a class. We don't do an orientation. We don't do like a, some folks do like a 6-week thing. I think when I was baptized, I had to do like a, I think it may have been like an hour class, the length of the sermon. But we don't do that. When I was baptized, they gave me a certificate. I was telling someone, we don't do that either, because they gave me a certificate. I could not tell you today where it is, except a cousin's cousin who lives in Ohio sent me that picture of me being baptized and a picture of my certificate and said, I found this in my grandmother's house. I don't even know how it got there. So when we baptize folks, we don't do a certificate. I will do a TikTok video with you because that's going to last forever. But we don't give you a certificate because you know, we know, and God knows that you were baptized, right? So here's what we do when we baptize people. We just ask one simple question. Same question that Philip asked, and it's based on this. Because baptism is not what you do in order to be saved. It is what you do as a result of experiencing salvation. It's not what you do in order to become a part of God's kingdom. It's what you do as a result of being a part of God's kingdom. That's why Philip asked him, hey, when he said, what's stopping me from being baptized? And Philip made it clear, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? If you do, then you can be baptized. And the reason we do that is based on these two scriptures I'm going to share with you really quick from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And after I share this, we're going to baptize some folks. Where Paul is sharing with people, and he says, and I want you to read this with me. He says, this is the gospel that saves you. He says, by this gospel, what he's about to share, you are saved. Whatever he's about to say next, that's what saves you. And the word baptism isn't in there. He says, I received what I passed on to you as of first importance, and here is the gospel, that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. So when people want to get baptized, this is what we ask them. Do you believe the gospel that Christ died for your sins in accordance with the scripture? And that he was buried, and then he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture. And do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if anyone says, yeah, we do, then splish, splash, you'll be taking a bath. We'll baptize you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to open this up to anyone in the room that wants to get baptized. Granted, there's only 6 chairs up here, but you can come on up anyway. And if there's more people than we have towels, Christy will run up to the house and grab towels. They're all clean. We just washed them. So this is what's going to happen. I know of a couple of people that said they're going to get baptized. I'm going to tell you guys how this is going to work, and then I'm going to ask them to come up. They're going to come up here, hang out up here. And then one by one, they're going to go into the room back there and they're going to come down. You can take your towel with you, leave it. There's some chairs right by the door. You're going to step down into the water. The water last time I checked was like 78 degrees, which is good. That's reasonable, right? Which when Bill did it, it was like 58. So you guys are looking blessed, but, you're going to come down, you'll be baptized. I'm going to move the camera over there, so that people on the live stream can see it as well. So you guys won't have to all get up. You'll be able to see it up on the screen. Once you're done and you're baptized, you can go back in here, grab your towel, come into the bathroom, change clothes. I'm going to say this to all the kids. Go to the bathroom now. because it's going to be locked up in a minute, so if kids need to go grab kids and use the bathroom, do all that. Okay? So, you're going to come up, I'm going to call you one by name, you're going to go into that room, leave your towel, get baptized, go back into that room, and then there's a back room back there, you'll just go from the back into the bathroom, get changed. Is that clear? Everyone understand that? Okay, so for those of you who are ready to get baptized, you guys come on up while I move the camera. They're going to adjust the screen. Everyone else, stay seated for a minute.
Okay, for the record, I do have shorts on, okay? Because I was going to wear waders, and they're like, where are your waders? Are you in your underwear? No, I'm in shorts. We're not that kind of church. Okay, so first up, Brandon, you're first. So you can head in there. There's a chair right by the door. Set your stuff down by it. All right, so before we ask a question, I always ask the people, is there anything that you want to share?
I'm just doing this again because I was born in a different Presbyterian church, so I got the little sprinkle up 1 year old in 1990, so I figured it was time to do the real thing.
And those of you stopped doing the math at 1990, he was one and I was whatever. Okay, I'm going to take my glasses off because they're getting all foggy from the heat. Okay, all right. So we ask again the question, do you believe the gospel that Jesus died in accordance with the scriptures for your sins, was buried and rose from the grave in accordance with the scriptures?
Yes.
And do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Being said, cross your hands in front of your chest. If you want to hold your nose, hold your nose. All right. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Adam, you're up next. All right, so I'll ask you as well. Is there anything that you want to share?
I'm ready to do this for myself. I am.
Okay. All right, so I'll ask you the same question. Do you believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins in accordance with the scripture, was buried, and then rose from the grave in accordance with the scriptures?
Absolutely, I do.
And do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Nick, come on up. Let's get all the guys done. This is a great temperature. So if anyone's like, oh yeah, because I think last time we didn't do it right because it wasn't this warm. We just didn't do it right. It was like 58 degrees. So Nick, we'll ask you the same thing that we asked everyone else. Do you believe the gospel that Jesus died in accordance with the scripture for your sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture?
Yes, I do.
And do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right. All right, Heather, you're up. For the record, this is the first time either of us has seen each other without our glasses, so yeah. Can we see each other?
Okay.
Okay, all right. So I'll ask you the same thing. Heather, is there anything that you want to say?
I was baptized when I was 4 months old in a Presbyterian church, so I don't remember it. This time I'm making a commitment to follow Jesus, have a relationship, and today when I leave, I'm leaving all the unquestions, I'm leaving the anxieties and the fears in this water.
Amen. So I will ask you the same question. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins in accordance with the scripture, and that he was buried, and then he rose in accordance with the scripture?
I do.
And do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
100%.
Everyone knows. Melanie, you're going to be up next, followed by Donna, and then followed by Melissa. We saved Melissa for last because I don't know if her and Bill are going to be tussling in the water. Oh, who else? Oh, Lene, are you getting baptized? Oh, that's fine. That is fine. Okay. All right. Melanie, yeah, you're up. Yeah, and if anyone else wants to make a last-minute decision and come up, feel free. Okay, Melanie, step to the mic. Do you have anything you want to say? Okay, I didn't think so. All right, at least wave. There you go. All right, so I'll ask you the same question. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose on the third day in accordance with the Scripture?
Yes.
And do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right, so next up we have Donna. So then after Donna, we're going to do Lene and then Melissa. We're still going to say Melissa for last. Are you okay with that? Okay. All right, so Donna, step to the mic. I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture?
Absolutely.
And do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Absolutely.
All right, Lene. Right in there. Wait, hold on. Last minute, but you do have something to get baptized in, right? Oh, okay, that's fine. Okay, okay, all right. As long as it's not like baptism after dark, that's okay. I think it was Kevin, were you the one, or Gary, that told me the story that one year they plugged in the heater and filled the baptism overnight, but the heater was on maximum, and they left it all night. And when they came in, there was so much heat, like paint was peeling off the walls, all that. Yeah, so that's what I was afraid of. That's why you froze when we did yours. So step to the mic. And Lene, I will ask you the same thing. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture?
I do.
Stop and wave to your daughter. And do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Up last but not least, Melissa. Hold that thought. Where's Jax? Jax, you got to come up to the front at least, man, and watch. All right, there you go. Come up so you can see. All right, so Melissa, I will ask you the same question. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins in accordance with the Scripture, was buried, and then was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture?
Yes.
And do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
So then based on that, not I, but I'm going to let Bill baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Kevin, I'm going to ask you to come up and just say a prayer for all the things, bless the food, and then we'll be done.
Our Heavenly Father, we'd like to give thanks for this food and ask you to bless it to our bodies. We use it to do your will, and we thank you for these baptisms, and ask thank you in Jesus' name, amen.